to minister to us. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy old year.
Yes.
As we prepare for the new year.
Yes.
We thank the Lord for this far. It is my honor and privilege to bring us the Word of God today as we mark the last Sunday of the year. And also as we put a pause to the series that we had been doing, the prayer series, and that we broke a little bit. We had a break when we did Thanksgiving Sunday, and also when we did Christmas Sunday. But we thank the Lord, He has been good to us. Tuko salama?
Yes.
All right, without taking too much time, I want us to begin looking at the Word of God so that we can also release us early. I think there is only one visitor, Rose. So there's another one. Okay, my name is Godfrey Kingori. You can call me Pastor Kings or Pastor Kingori. And the Lord is good. Now, what we'll be talking about today is the last session of our prayer series that is called The Winning Posture. The Winning Posture of Prayer. And that will mark the end. And then as we begin the new year, we will begin a new series. And the Lord will be with us. Why don't you open our Bibles and look at a few portions of Scripture. Luke 11, 11. Can also see the same in Matthew, but let's look at Luke 11 from verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So, he was praying, and when he paused, when he stopped praying, the disciples came to him, and one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Mm-hmm. Yes. Forever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much. So I want us to begin there, and then we'll also go to our key verse for the series, which was 1 Timothy chapter 2. I can just read from verse 1 to 8. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Verse 7, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Look at verse 8. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Of course, it continues. But so the main verse that we focus on today is that I desire therefore that men pray everywhere. But let's look at some backdrop a little bit. In Luke 11 and also Matthew, The disciples of Jesus tell Jesus, Lord or Master or Teacher, teach us to pray. Now, if you think about that, it would be important to consider and know that for the disciples to ask the Lord how to pray, it would not have been very, very characteristic of a Jew to ask to be taught how to pray. Reason being, from the point that these people were small, that Jewish children were small, if they would grow up in Jewish tradition, which included praying. Are we together? Even I think up to 5 times a day. And they, you know, even up to today, the Jews have, you know, nikama wa Islamu tu, vile they have times for prayer, scheduled time for prayer, and there's a prayer for that hour, there is a prayer for that time. And so, if you were to look at that, these were not very, very, in as much as we all think about the disciples as unschooled, unskilled, and unlearned, we need to realize that they were male Jewish adults who are expected to have been taught in the Jewish way from their childhood. In fact, I did some study some time back, and I realized that fishing was one of the most lucrative profession around the Sea of Galilee. And so, you know, at times it is very inaccurate when you try to think that, you know, akina Peter walikuwa tu maskini tu pahali walikuwa amekaa tu hawakuwa na kitu kingine ya kufanya. And so Jesus Christ gave them something better to do. So, you know, they were not very, very badly off if you look at the trade of the day. And around the Sea of Galilee where Jesus Christ did most of his ministry, that was the most popular trade. And it was actually bringing in quite some bit of money. But that is not the topic for the day. So the disciples, being adult Jewish men, were highly skilled in the things of the law. They were highly skilled even in terms of reading and understanding the Torah. They were highly skilled in matters Judaism, which includes prayer. But there is a difference that comes in when they saw how Jesus Christ used to pray. Because Jesus Christ brought in an aspect of speaking to God, not just as any other Jewish man according to the Torah, but as a father would talk, or as a child would talk to a father. Are we together? As a child would talk to a father. And so the difference then comes, as the child is speaking to the father, the child is also opening up and expressing and reflecting their heart to the father. So different from how the Jews used to only go and recite prayers, like at times, you know, we were in, I think when I was growing up in my Christian, you know, in my walk with God, there are times we had a prayer for every session. Ukiangalia Catholic, ukiangalia PCA, kuna ile tu maombi unajua ikifika ni hapa, hii ndio maombi inasemwa. We had even memorized some of these prayers. And you see, it happens like that in many other places, even up to today. But the difference that Jesus Christ was bringing is the ability that when we go to prayer, we are able to open up our heart, reflect it, and express it to God as we would to our Father. Are we together? And so then, and Jesus Christ also said, when you pray, do not go ahead and take up vain repetitions. I mean, usiende tu kurudia ile kitu again and again, just vainly. But pray in this manner. First of all, look to God and talk to Him as your Father. It is not about impressing anybody. It is not about putting on a show. It is not about how beautiful you can structure your prayers. Unajua kuna wale watu unaomba unasikia, hey, hiyo maombi imetengenezwa, ikatengenezwa. It's not about that. It's about the genuineness of our heart as we open it to God and let Him fellowship with us in that place of prayer. Are we together?
Yes.
So then, one important thing to know, when we pray, we must believe and we must know and appreciate that we are not coming to prayer as just Christians. Are we together? But we are coming to prayer as sons of God speaking to their Father. Tuko pamoja? As sons of God speaking to their Father. With that, then, when you start thinking about speaking to our Father, not just, in fact, the Bible says, whatever you will ask the Father in my name. So you talk to God as if you are talking to the Father. When we think about that, then, there are three elements that we must consider when you talk about opening our hearts to God as our Father. And it is very, very important. Please don't lose the fact that when we pray, we are opening up and reflecting our heart to the Father. Because that is what will help us tie verse 8 when we say that then we need to lift up holy hands to God without wrath and doubting, because that is a matter and a position of the heart. Are we together? So we are reflecting our heart to the Father. And I said there are three elements that then we need to consider as far as our prayer is concerned. When you pray to God as your Father, then there needs to be an expression of honor in your heart to the Father. Are we together? There needs to be an expression of honor, but the kind of honor that you would give a father, not just like any other person. For example, let me use Michael and Haniel, because leo kijana pastor Madi yuko, so sitamtumia. Michael and Haniel. The way I would talk to Haniel is not the same way Michael would talk to Haniel. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Probably I probably would be comfortable saying niaje Haniel. Michael may not be very, very comfortable to say niaje Haniel. He would be saying that. However, in terms of our interaction, there is a place that I cannot go in my interaction with Haniel, but Michael would comfortably go past that because he is the son of Haniel. Are we together? So then there is the aspect of honor that is due to our father when you are speaking to him. But also the freedom of speaking to somebody that we honor, but also knowing that it is actually my father. Are we together? So when we say that we speak to God as our father, the aspect of honor comes into place. We also see that we are also free to talk to him just like a child would talk to a father. The other aspect is trust. So there is honor. When we speak to God as our Father, there is the aspect of honor that comes in. There is also the aspect of trust. Because prayer is essentially an expression of trust in him who is able to answer your prayer. Are we together? If you did not trust in him, you would not have asked him in the first place. Even Jesus himself had to express his trust in God by prayer. Even when he was just about to die, he said, "Oh Lord, take this cup away from me. But nonetheless, let your will be done." Saying, "I am still trusting and trusting my life upon you." You know, Jesus Christ had to live by trust in the Father, even to trust that God would keep his word and raise him from the dead. There is a psalm that says, "You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Jesus is not just giving us a sweet prophecy through David. He's actually expressing his heart and his trust that I will die, yes, but I trust that you will not leave me for dead. You will raise me up. Are we together? He trusted God that he would actually deliver him from decay. But the other part, I said three elements. The other element of that comes in when you begin thinking about praying to God and talking to him as a father is our responsibility and expected maturity in prayer. Are we together? So number three is responsibility and the expected maturity in prayer. Now look at things this way. Jesus says, whatever you ask my Father in my name, what will happen? I will give you. And that is whatever. That is whatever. And when I look at that scripture, I imagine a blank check. Somebody giving you a blank check. I mean, wewe kile utataka kuitisha, itisha in my name and God will do what? Will give you. But imagine somebody coming and telling you, I want to maybe bless you, I want to give you a gift. And so I'm giving you a blank check. Ni check, write the amount that you wish to write. Now, when somebody gives you a blank check, I've not been given one, but I'm just imagining, there are two things that are expected. Number one is that you have freedom to write what you want. Sini ukweli? But there is also an expectation that you are not going to go overboard with what you write. The person giving you the blank check does not expect you to go and empty their bank account. Sini ukweli? So they expect that you are going to ask wisely. In the same way, We have freedom to pray, but God also expects us and requires us to pray wisely. So that then we don't find ourselves, for example, I've seen people praying negatively for others because they were hurt or they were offended. It is true you have the freedom to pray, but pray in a wise and a mature way, so that then what you pray for is not in contradiction to what? To the will of God. Usijipate unalaani mtu kwa nini? Kwa maombi. So there is the freedom to pray, but there is also the expected responsibility and maturity that we will be mature and wise in the things that we ask for. Therefore, when we pray, there is need to ask for whatever we want in the will of God. Why don't we examine prayer just for a little bit? When I had the privilege of starting this series for us, I had the first session, and I mentioned the comparison between prayer and incense, the offering or the burning of incense in the Bible. We can see that in Revelation 5:8, whereby the Bible says, "And I saw an angel holding a golden censer with incense, which is the prayers of the saints." And so Revelation tells us that incense is the prayers of the saints. Exodus 30:35, we can also see, I think that is what I had talked about, how God directed Moses in terms of how incense was to be made. And I remember I said that God said, when you make incense, make sure that none of you make such kind of an incense for themselves. And whoever makes such kind of an incense for themselves shall be cut off from the people. Meaning, you cannot relate with God or with any other person in the way we, like, you know, you can only relate with God in prayer. You cannot relate with any other person through prayer. You cannot, even a husband and a wife cannot pray each other. Sinukweli, cannot pray to each other. That is only a relationship that you can have with God. But I want us to look at Revelation 8, chapter 3, and see something interesting. Revelation 8, 3. Verse 3 says, "Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Can you see that? So an angel having a golden censer stood at the altar. He was given much incense, a lot of it, and he was told, "Offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Verse 4. "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand." And so, ascended from the angel to before God. Verse 5. "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth." Please note that. "And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake." So the seven angels, who are the seven trumpets, prepare themselves to sound. And if you proceed, you realize that specific things begin happening in the earth after that particular incident. So what I want to highlight from this is, one, that when the prayers of the saints with the incense ascended upwards before God, the angel took fire from the altar, put it and mixed it with the prayers of the saints, then do what? Threw them to the ground, and there are all manner of things happening, and the earth was changed. In this same way, we can learn such a thing from this, such that the moment we pray, are we together, and our prayer is done and coincides with the will of God, what happens is fire from the altar is added to the prayer, and they are done what? They are thrown back to the earth. What does that mean? It simply means our prayer come back to earth as a fulfillment of what we have asked for. And that is how then we can say that prayer changes things, or prayer can transform the earth. Why? Because when our prayers ascend from our hearts and from our mouths and from our spirit to God, what he does is, he adds power to that and throws them in fulfillment of that kind of prayer. Are we together? So then those prayers come back to the earth and they are able to do what it is that they were supposed to do. Then we are encouraged that when we pray, we are not just praying to pass time, but we are praying and making prayers and our petitions to God, all kinds of prayers and petitions to God, and the answer for that lies with God. So the symbol and the picture of God answering the prayers to transform the earth is when the angel takes fire, mixes it, and throws it back to the earth. Are we together? So it is very, very important then to realize that we need to make our prayers that coincide and that are in line with the will of God. Imagine, let's think about Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 should be around verse 23 there. Yes, Acts in verse 23. The disciples of Jesus, the likes of Peter, the apostles, were held by the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Jews, of course, and they were threatened and they were told, do not preach in the name of Jesus again. But the Bible says that they went to prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, you can read and continue. But they went and made a very, very powerful prayer. I was trying to imagine, what if I was in that situation? What could I have prayed? The disciples went and told God, Lord, you have said in your word, they quoted us, should be Psalm chapter 2, why do the nations rage? The nations are gathered against you. So they said, look unto their threats, but then give us boldness to continue preaching your word and doing what we must do. At such time of threatening, it is very, very possible for them to begin saying, hey, Mungu, hapa ni ngumu, we may want to step back a little bit. Or even say, God, take away these Pharisees, kill them, destroy them, so that we can continue preaching what? The gospel. What they did, they realized that it was in the will of God and according to what God had given as a prophecy much, much earlier, that the gospel and the apostles would be persecuted. So they said, because this is in line with your will, the only thing we want is to give that you give us boldness and strength to continue serving and fulfilling your will and doing what we must do. Hawakuanza kusema ati wacha roho ya Farisayo au Farisayo itoke ikiteketea. Toka ukiteseka. We rebuke the spirit of the Pharisee. No. Toka ukiteseka. Toka ukiteketea. Once I was in a prayer session and somebody said, I'm not going to say what roho alikuwa na kazi, but I'm going to imagine the roho ya Farisayo, eh? Roho ya Farisayo tunakushika, tunakunyonga, tunakuweka kwa coffin, na tunapiga msumari wa roho. Akasema tunapigilia msumari wa roho. Hautatoka, and of course it was not very nice, but it was funny. So, I mean, they were not vengeful. They just knew it is in the will of God that we continue doing this. So our prayer is not to subvert the will of God in any way. But you're going to pray that the will of God continues happening, but that God gives us boldness. And I'm telling you, God gave them boldness and effectiveness, such that all of them, apart from John, died, but they still continued doing the work that they had to do. Are we together? In Exodus chapter 30, from verse 1 to 10, we see a description of the altar of incense. I said prayer is equated or is symbolized by incense in the Bible, more so in the Old Testament. We see, please go and read Exodus 30. I don't want to read that because we read some other portions of scripture as we tie up. Exodus 31 to 10, we see God telling Moses, directing Moses with regard to how to make the altar of incense and how to place it. Among the things you will see in those 10 verses is that God, number one, gave how the measurements of the altar. What was supposed to be done, length, the height, the weight, how it was supposed to be done, and what have you. But the other thing that he did is the placement. Where was it supposed to be placed? God tells Moses, I want you, after you have finished building the altar, to place it before the veil, that you know, before, in front of the veil, that is before the holiest of all, that is before the Ark of the Covenant. Now, please think about this with me briefly. The tabernacle of Moses had three courts: the outer court, the holy place, and the holiest of all, or the holy of holies, as we usually call it, the holiest of all. Between the holiest of all and the holy place, there was a curtain. Inside the holiest of all, there was the Ark of the Covenant that symbolizes what? The presence of God. Presence of God. So before that, there was a veil. And then God says, place that altar of incense before the veil. In other words, if you are progressing from the outer court to the holy place and you want to go to the holiest of all, what happens? You get to the altar of incense first. Are we together? And so prayer is introduced to us in a very, very beautiful way. Let me say something else. I think I had said it the last time. When the high priest would want to get inside, he would light the golden censer of incense, and aiwasha inatoa moto, that sweet smelling smoke and incense. Then anaizungusha zungusha, hiyo moshi inamzunguka. Are we together?
Yeah.
And then he would enter covered in the smoke. Can you see how powerful prayer is represented? Now, think of prayer as that incense. So you offer the incense just before, that is in the Old Testament, you offer the incense just before you access what? The presence of God. So prayer is placed as an interface between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. So heaven and earth are able to meet and join when we pray. Are we together? Now, I'm not saying that it is what we need so that we can access the presence of God, because even now when we are not praying, we are in the presence of God. But what I mean is, the heaven and the earth meet when we pray.
Amen.
Tuko pamoja? When you kneel down to pray, heaven and earth meet. Tuko pamoja? Something interesting also happens. Go read Hebrews chapter 9. There is a description of the same, but the writer of Hebrew now says, in the heavenly sanctuary, now not the tabernacle of Moses, in the heavenly sanctuary, the golden altar of incense now is, he says it is now located in the holiest of all. Sasa haiko nje, iko ndani. Of course, which means we have been allowed access, but even then, we must continue doing our prayers in the spirit. I don't want to extend that anymore further than that. But simply means, now the altar of incense is not outside the holy place. It is right there inside. So we must continue praying in our spirit, praying within the spirit. And even when we are in the presence of God and we have been allowed access, we must continue in prayer. Sawa sawa. So prayer then does not become redundant because we are daily living in the presence of God. Tuko pamoja? The last thing that is said in Exodus 30 verse 1 to 10 is, God says that you will not make any other sacrifice on this altar of incense. Don't offer any grain offering on it. Don't offer any drink offering for it. Nothing else apart from the incense. But then God also says, however, every year, the priest will make the atonement sacrifice on this altar. Now, think about it this way. Every year, there was what was called the Day of Atonement. And the high priest would kill a bull that would signify that the sins of the people had been covered for that year. Then they would go for a whole year, and then the priest would come again. So the only other sacrifice that was permitted to be done on the altar of incense, think about it as the place of prayer, was the atonement sacrifice. And this atonement sacrifice, we must realize that it speaks about Christ Jesus and the sacrifice. So the only other sacrifice that is allowed at the place of prayer is that which shows and reveals Christ. It is not what, you see, grain and drink is something that the people, the Jews could grow. Wangenda wa grow mahindi wakuja wa offer to God. Simply means, when you come to prayer, it is not something that you can produce by yourself. But you come on account of Jesus Christ. Which means, that if prayer to be effective, We must do it first of all by realization that we are praying because Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made has given us the right to be in that place in the first place. Tuko pamoja? And that is why we also say we pray in the name of? We pray in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus does not mean ni kama stamp, unaandika barua alafu unaweka signature in the name of Jesus. No. It simply means we do so by the authority of Jesus, by the recognition and the acceptance of the sacrifice and the offering of Jesus, and of course, by the character of Jesus. That is how we go to prayer. For prayer to be effective, when we say in the name of Jesus, we do that recognizing his authority in that, his nature, his character, and his offering. So when we pray then, it is as if we are bringing our incense before God. Now, Haniel on Sunday taught us and reminded us about the wise men who went to visit the baby Jesus. Could you actually call him a baby? You realize that the time the wise men got to Jesus, well, the shepherds found the baby in a manger, right? But the wise men did not find the baby in a manger. When you look at the Bible, it appears that the journey and whatever, it took them probably, they might have found Jesus when he was about 2 years old. That is the wise men. If you look at most of Matthew, the wise men wakifikia Jesus alikuwa kakijana kanatembea, about 2 years, 2 years of age. They went and took what? Gold. They also took what? Incense. Mane. Right? They took gold. Upani now? Mane. Yes. So when they took their incense, it is as if they are taking their prayers to who? To the king. It is as if they are taking their prayers to the king. So Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So if that is the case then, when we talk about prayer, we must realize that then we have the freedom, yes, we have a responsibility, but we also do that in Jesus. How do we tie this up? Now we go back to our hearts. That then our hearts need to be right for us to be able to open them and reflect them before God. Why don't we look at Jude verse 20? And I think Pastor Matthew had read and taught us this. I just want us to look at verse 20 briefly. Then we begin to close. I don't know for how many times we'll be closing today, but we begin to close. Jude, verse 20. What does it say? But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Unto eternal life. So there are two things that have been mentioned there. Build yourself up and then do what? Pray in the Holy Spirit, and this will help you to keep yourself in the mercies of God. Which therefore means as we pray, prayer should not be done in isolation. We need, you realize it is build yourself in your most holy faith. Then as you continue doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. It's not just about prayer, but it is also about making sure that we observe the other key disciplines that Pastor talks about. Nidhamu. Ni nidhamu ama ni nini? I think nidhamu. Other key disciplines of the faith, so that then it's not just prayer, but it is prayer done within a lifestyle that is totally devoted, a lifestyle that is totally given to God. Pastor said the other time that one man with God is what? Is the majority. One man with God is the majority. So when we come to prayer, having built ourselves, having established and set in place the other things that we actually need to set as far as our faith is concerned. If it is love, then we need to love. Is it forgiveness? Then we need to be able to forgive even as we come to prayer. The Bible says, when you give a sacrifice and you come to the altar and then you remember that you have what? You have a dispute or a disagreement with your brother. You do what? Weka your sacrifice hapo chini. Go. Settle your matter with your brother and then come. I don't know why Jesus hakusema enda na hiyo sacrifice alafu utaleta. Labda alifikiria service itakuwa imeisha. Unajua unaweza enda kuzote mata kanisa ifungwe. So hiyo sacrifice itakuja. So you come, leave the sacrifice, In case kufungwe ni sawa tu. And you go. Then you can come back what? Later. Tuko pamoja. Then praying in the Holy Spirit. And it is important, by the way, to note that praying in the Holy Spirit is not necessarily praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is part of praying in the Holy Spirit, but praying in the Spirit simply means being led and guided by the Holy Spirit in prayer. Tuko pamoja? If praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues, then we could not have known a powerful prayer like John 17. We could not have known a powerful prayer like Ephesians, where Paul is praying. Says he's praying in the Spirit, but he's praying in a way that we can read and understand. So praying in the Holy Spirit simply is being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Of course, that includes praying in tongues, but it is possible to pray in the Spirit without necessarily praying in tongues. So build yourself in the most holy faith. Keep all the disciplines of our faith, even as we come to prayer, for our prayer to be very, very effective. So that then our prayer can be offered to God from a clean and a pure environment of our heart. Are we together?
Amen.
Now we conclude with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I desire therefore that men pray, lifting up holy hands without what? Without wrath and without doubting. What do we learn from that? Number one, our prayer needs to be done in holiness. Holiness is emphasized, proper and fully. What does being holy mean? It simply means to be totally set apart and separated to God. Are we together?
Yes.
Being totally set apart, totally separated. When we come to the year, kuna ile crossover. I don't know, sidhani hii itafanyika. Inaitangwa TSO, totally sold out. Simply, you are totally sold out to God. Totally devoted, totally separated to God. You live a separate life, different from every other person, because you are separated to God. That means you are holy. When Jesus Christ called his disciples in the book of Mark, the Bible says that Jesus called the 12 first to be with him, then that he might send them. So the first point of our call is to be with him, to be separated to him, to walk with him. Are we together? To be fully devoted and totally given to him, then he may send them out. That is the first point. Holiness cannot be emphasized. Of course, that also extends to clean living and to right living, even as far as righteousness is concerned. The other thing is without wrath and without doubting. Why don't we look at this in this way? Rather than doubting, from there we see issues like anger, issues like malice, issues like selfishness. And you see, being selfish in prayer is a very, very common thing, even for many, many of us believers today. Find their prayers are all about me, myself, I. Take me to the next level. Give me the next promotion. Sini ukweli? Give me the next car. Give me the next house. I think niliwape ile ile ka kitu tulikuwa nafanya kitambo last time I was speaking about this. Kaambia, tulikuwa naona gari, unaanza kupossess gari. Sasa ukiona hii discovery we possess. Na ni ya Pastor Matthew. Hata Mungu hata kupe. Sini ati I possess that, I possess you. It belongs to somebody else. So, you know, selfishness. And how then do we get this right? That we need to make sure that our prayers are not self-centered, but centered on God. Just like those apostles in the early church prayed. They were not praying for self-preservation. They were saying, yes, we know it is difficult, but look on their threats. Just give us the boldness to do what it is that we must do. We are not praying that you don't allow us to be persecuted. If it pleases you, it is well. Give us peace. But more importantly, give us strength to do this. Just like the Shunammite woman. You remember how the Shunammite woman, her story is given when Elisha would come. Alimjengia nyumba wapi? Alimtengenezea karumu uko juu. It's almost a picture of how you give God first priority in your life. The other day, now that Tata Hannah amesema, must have been the day before yesterday, as I was thinking about this, placing God first and not being selfish, I thought about the story of Hannah. Hannah did not have a son for so long. But when she got a son, she said, I am going to give my son to who? To God. Please notice, She had the right of paying 5 shekels to stay with the son, and by essence still say, uyu mtoto nimekupe. There is something that was called a redemption price. Redemption price, that was 5 shekel. So the story about it is God said all the firstborn are mine. So if you get a son and you do not want that son to stay in the temple as mine, pay 5 shekels, and in that sense you will have done what? Redeemed. It's actually the story of redemption, like Jesus Christ came to redeem us by paying a price. So she would have paid 5 shekel and she would have gone with Samuel home. And it would not have nullified the fact that she had given her to God. Because not all prophets of God in those days lived in the temple. But Hannah said, inasmuch as I have the right of redemption, I am not going to redeem this person. I just want to wholly give. I want to inconvenience myself for the sake of God, for the sake of keeping my word and my promise to God. Not being selfish. The last point of our sermon today, without wrath and without doubting. Doubting is faithlessness. We need to have faith and believe. We say that prayer also shows and is an expression of trust in Him that answers our prayers. So then if there is trust, there is need to be faith. How about wrath? We need to learn how to deal with anger and bitterness and forgiveness in our life. I had thought about unforgiveness sometime, and what was really standing out for me, I thought by my estimation that unforgiveness and pride go along. Mtu anakukosea, but you are proud, too proud to forgive this person. Mimi amefanya hivyo. Mimi. Siyezi msamehe, you are too proud even to forgive. Unforgiveness and pride. Because you feel like your pride has been hurt in one way or the other. It is very, very possible to forgive. And of course, the inability to heal from curse. One time I was preaching at a place and somebody asked, what do you mean when you say forgive and forget? And sometimes it is impossible to forget that somebody ever did something wrong to you. And thankfully, by the grace of God, the conclusion I helped the person draw to was, when we say forgive and forget, it is not necessary that that thing will not be in your mind anymore. But forgiving and forgetting means that when you remember something that somebody did to you and it offended you, when you remember it a second time, it does not give you any pain. Yes, you can still remember what happened, but it does not pain you anymore because you've been able to forgive this person. If you are not able to do this in terms of forgiving, unforgiveness breeds bitterness. Are we together? And if you come to prayer from a point of bitterness, you'll almost find yourself making the prayer like Samson. Nirudishie nguvu kidogo tu. So that I avenge. Very, very selfish. Not even so that you can be glorified. I avenge. Na nikufe na? Wow. And for sure he died with them. Are we together? So when we harbor anger, wrath, and unforgiveness in our hearts, it poisons us and becomes bitterness. Just like ukiwa na kidonda iko na pus usaha, iguze pahali kwingine, hiyo place inapata nini? Inapata hiyo. It is very, very possible to extend that kidonda hapo. I don't know whether I've given you a story of how, I've given this story many, many times, of how huko kwetu, mivumo trees ilikuwa zinaanguka one after the other. Kwanza hapo kwa locality yetu, kuna ziko tu hapo nje. So 3 of them fell almost like in a span of 2 months. Halafu kasikia kuna nyingine imeanguka karatina. And I remember one pastor calling me and telling me, alikuwa rafiki yangu, akaniambia unajua ile maombi tumefanya imeanza sasa kutetemesha traditions and false religions. But I just remembered, of course I never said no, I never opposed or disputed. Nikasema kweli maombi ni mzuri. But I remembered when the trees were falling, nikaona moja, one of them, moja ilianguka nikiwa nyumbani. Went nikaangalia nikaona a lot of tuadudus, two insects, crawling insects around the tree. Alafu nikaona tumashimo twingi kwa hiyo mti. Tumashimo na tunjia twingi. So my conclusion was, these insects had managed to bore too many holes in this tree. And because the tree was very old, of course migumo trees are very old, ilikuwa kubwa. It was very old, iko na mashimo kwa the stem, it could not support the weight. It fell. Are we together? So it's not really a matter of praying and what have you. It was simply because this tree had gotten weakened. In the same way, we have seen men, great men and women, falling because of bitterness and unforgiveness. We have seen people revenging. We have seen people killing and wondering, I don't even know how that happened. Why? Because they allowed it to bore holes in their stems, in their support system. They allowed it to do what? To weaken them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 to 15. What does the Bible say? Pursue peace and holiness with all, lest any root of bitterness springing forth from among you cause trouble and by many get defiled. So, pursue peace and holiness with all. That is very true. Lest any root of bitterness coming forth from among you bring you trouble, and by that many people get undefiled. One of the best way to look at unforgiveness, I have been in this situation, and we had a discussion with pastor that made me remember some of this. At some point I was very bitter with my father. Very bitter. I mean, so much unforgiveness. Na nilikuwa campus. Thankfully, my wife, hallelujah, she really helped me overcome and actually forgive my father. Such that by the time he came to die, we were very, very good friends. Very, very good friends. I still mourn him to death. But, I mean, it was very, very difficult for me. And I realized that unforgiveness is almost like nikama tu and any other battle against the flesh that you need to fight. When God tells you to forgive, but your flesh tells you, no, you should not forgive. So you have to fight it. You have to fight it. You have to fight. Thankfully, I was able to overcome. And it brought a lot of peace and a lot of healing for me who had refused to forgive. That is a story for another day. But how do we get ourselves to forgiveness? Number one, you learn how to give the other person a benefit of doubt. And number two, you forgive because you're also forgiven. Benefit of doubt simply means mtu akikukosea unajiambia huyo mtu hakuwa anataka kunikosea. It was not intentional. You give the benefit of doubt. And the other point is, even after that, at the back of your mind, remember that you are also forgiven. Jesus said, forgive one another as your Father forgives you. Are we together? And we need to remember that according to Jesus, ni Jesus, do not let your anger, let the sun set down on your anger. Alituambia expiry date ya anger ni 12 hours. Sindia? So ukikasirika asubuhi, wewe uko na 12 hours. Ukikasirika saa 10, wewe anger yako ina expire haraka haraka ni 2 hours to maximum. Ukikasirika 5:45, wewe hata huna, isha expire karibu. Itafika kama ime expire. Remember to forgive. Are we together? Jesus gave us a very, very high bar. Forgive. How many times? 70 times? 70 times 7? 490 times per day. Sasa pastor, unaweza kosea mtu mara 50 hata in one day.
Hata sijai kosea my wife all the years we've been married for 70.
Ujai, ata maratano in one day. You know, 70 times 70, 490 ni leo. So, ima nikikosea. So, if I nikikosea ima leo. Leo, 490 ni leo. Kesho, subuhi kuna 490 yake. Haijaguzwa. Sindio? Forgiveness. Now, if you are able to get this right, and then, of course, we combine this with other prayer. I said building ourselves up with the whole most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That is why I said we need to also bring in other factors. Some of them even like fasting. We combine this, we build ourselves in the most holy faith. Fasting is part of it. If we get this right and we bring in the other doctrines like fasting, obedience, trusting God, then we'll be able to walk with God, sharpen our hearing, that we'll be able to hear more and better from God. Are we together? We'll also be able to be more and more sensitive to the presence of God in our life. In that way, we'll be able to get more and more intimate with God. I think I said the other time, our intimacy with God is not because we pray. Our intimacy with God is because we are His children. However, praying helps us to fuel that intimacy. It helps us to become more and more intimate with God. And of course, when we pray right, do everything right, we set ourselves to see the earth being transformed and changed by the power of our prayers. Are we together? Finally, remember Jesus said, Matthew 7:7, what does it say? Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek,
and you shall find.
Knock,
and the door will be open for you.
Which means that prayer is not just about asking. Are we together? There is also seeking and knocking. So prayer in essence is not just about asking God for this and that and that. It is about pursuing God. Are we together? The aspect of seeking and knocking brings in the aspect of pursuing God. But as we pursue God, let us take the right posture. The posture of humility. The posture of making sure that our hearts are not contaminated by wrath, by bitterness, by unforgiveness. Because I said from the very, very beginning, the difference between our prayer and the Jewish prayer in the Old Testament is that God allows us to open and reflect our heart to God. God does not want you to continue reflecting bitterness to Him. He wants a clean, pure heart and environment. Are we together? Ask, seek, knock. Don't be afraid to ask, but keep pursuing God. Keep pursuing God and trusting Him. Are we together? I want to ask Pastor to come and give us the final benediction for the year and help us culminate the year.